Yeah, when I was in expectation or to be speaking today, and I was seeking the way of the Lord, and this thought kind of came to me. Kind of go along somewhat with what things have been shared already is this, come and get it. Come and get it. I got a question. What do you desire? What do you need? Are there things you desire that you need in your life? Start here in Psalm 84 here. Verse 11. We're going to various places. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's quite an amazing statement. God is not going to withhold any good thing to those who walk uprightly. Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Then go here to Isaiah 55. So we'll be going to various different places. And start here in verse 1-3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And how many of us have heard to ask you, maybe we've spent money and time for things that didn't really satisfy. We were hoping it would, you know, we desired, I think it would be. We look forward to doing this. We were maybe buying this or doing this. And we didn't, and it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't what we needed. I'm sure any of us all could relate to those things. But here God is saying, if you're thirsty, come to the waters. You know, you're hungry, and he says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Really be satisfied. And a little bit with what Matthew was sharing here, and about coming to the Lord, and wherever we might feel, where we're at. Share two short portions here in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 10 to 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You know, I've blessed me in time past, like we, sometimes people think of the weather, and you know, it's maybe gloomy outside, raining or whatever, but it's, say, spiritually, it's not like that. The winter is past, it's over and gone, all your sins taken care of, everything is dealt with. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and he says, come, arise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And in Romans chapter 8 here, visiting from Brother Jacob, something I was very blessed by you sharing with me here. In verse 31 to 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so gone, his very own son, his beloved son, he didn't spare him, he gave him up for us all. As in, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And here as well, even verse 33. Who's going to lay anything to God's, to the charge of God's elect, God's people? It's God that justifies. God's the one who's made us right in his sight, who's cleansed our sins. And if God has done that, who's going to lay anything to our charge? If God has wiped our slate clean, who's going to lay anything to our charge? No one. It says, who is he that condemneth? And I think of John chapter 8. We all would know this about the story of the adulterous woman. And I'll just read to you the few verses there. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And it's like that. There's no one without sin that can rightly, in a sense, I could put this, condemn you. And the one who can justly do that, what does he say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So even that's what Matthew was sharing too. Even whatever you might feel, if you're his child, who is he that condemneth? The only one who can. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the very one who could, or only one who would be able to condemn you, that's what he's doing for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And this thing here as well about come and get it. I said, what do you need in your life? Your desires, things, these faults, or whatever you might see in your life, what do you need? In Romans 5 here in verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So all of us, if we've been justified by Christ, we have peace with God. And it says we have access into this grace wherein we stand. So if you're a child of God, you have access to the grace of God. And what is this grace, or at least somewhat of it? And I'll read to you a little bit here, just in the end of this chapter here in verse chapter 5. I'll start in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So it's by one sin that Adam, where sin came upon all mankind, and just the effects of it. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one sin, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And I'll read to you the definition of reign. To hold or exercise a sovereign power or authority in a state, to rule or govern as king or queen. And speaking of persons, to exercise authority of any kind, to hold sway, to rule of things, you know, chiefly immaterial things, to have power, sway, or predominance, to prevail or be prevalent. So you have access to this grace that can reign, that can rule in your life. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And I was going to read that in Hebrews 4, but Matthew did already. But it says you can come boldly for grace. You have access. What do you need? He says, come and get it. I remember even when Fred was preaching as well one time, I think in the hall there. I think he preached on somewhat very similar thing. He likened it or gave this illustration of a dump truck. And it's all this lumber you need. Come and get as much as you want. And the Lord has provided everything for us. And you have access. Come and get it. And something that's really, I must say, that's been impressed a lot on my heart is this one thought. What God has done for one, he will do for another. Like, we might read things that we read of in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, even the New, and think, well, if God did that back then, will he do that for me? And I read to you here something, I think I'd be reading various portions here. In Acts chapter 10 here. So when God sent some men, or Cornelius sent some men to Peter. We'll start here in verse 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So we see that here, maybe this in the context, the respecter of persons, speaking of Jew and Gentile. And so Peter said, I perceive something that God, it doesn't matter who you are, where your nation, your background, your Jew, Gentile, but in every nation, if someone fears God and works righteousness, he is accepted with him. And God, it says, God said to Cornelius, thy prayers are heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. So it doesn't matter what age you live in, what country, your background, your giftings, whatever it would be. If you fear him and you work righteously, you're accepted with him. And you can come to him. And it says in James chapter 2, talking about people having respect of persons, talking to the rich and the poor. So it doesn't matter your class, your finances, anything. God has no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter. He'll receive anyone and everyone that'll come to him. And here as well, this thought that, will God do for me what he's done for others? In Genesis chapter 15, after, read through one verse here, after Abraham delivers his nephew Lot, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And you think, okay, would God do that for me? Would God be a shield for me, or is that just for Abraham? And you read here as well in Psalm 84. Read two verses. Verse 9 and 11. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so he was a shield to Abraham. He's a shield to David. You see that many times. You see that often in the scriptures. You know, he is our high tower. Somebody you can go and hide, in a sense, hide in from danger. And as well here in, we go back to Isaiah 55 here, what I read before. Verse 1 to 3, I'll just read that again. And just, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So he's saying, even what I did for David, come, hearken diligently, listen, come to me. This is what I did for David, I'll do for you. Now I want to share with you a little bit, something I was really blessed by, what God did for David, and he'll do the same for you. 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is when David had in his heart to build a house for the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 8 to 16. Now therefore thou shalt, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, this be Nathan the prophet, I believe. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. That my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So God was making promise to David, what he's going to do for him, and his seed after him. All these things are... understand all these things. There's pictures of Christ and all these things in his kingdom. But you'll see, we'll read it, what God even did for Solomon because of David. here in Psalm 89. I'll go there, and then we'll go to 1 Kings 11. How God had mercy on Solomon because of David. Psalm 89. Verse 3 and 4, and then we'll break to, I think it's 17, we'll see. I'll just read from 1 to 4. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And we'll break into here to verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I'll beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever in his throne as a son before me. It shall be established forever as a moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. I said there's sure there's many things of Christ here, but even things that God had promised to David. We'll read it here in 1 Kings 11. God's mercy on Solomon, even because of his, even because of David's faithfulness. And the context is just with when Pharaoh is going after other gods. And God is raising up enemies to Solomon. Starting in verse 23. And God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin the son of Eliadiah, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite, sorry if I get lots of these words wrong, but that's fine. Zeruiah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruiah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was a cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad him with a new garment. And they two were alone in the field, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. But they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways, to do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, But I'll make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I'll take the kingdom out of his son's sake and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David, my servant, may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I'll take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. So you see here that God didn't take away the kingdom in Solomon's day because of David. And so in here God is, in a sense, presenting something to us, we can put it that way. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, you're thirsty. Come to the waters. You have no money, you got nothing of yourself. You got nothing to offer. He says, come. Why are you wasting your time, your money, for things that don't satisfy and don't give you what you need? Hearken diligently. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, listen, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I know it burns in my own heart, I want a blessing for myself and for my family. And you see David, 2 things that really struck out to me with David, and I think it's Psalm 34. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And so we just wanted to be there, to be in his presence. And God, like I said, what he did for one, he'll do for another. He'll come and get it, in a sense. Listen. Yeah, he'll do the same thing he did for David. He'll do for you as well. And I got a question for you as well. Have any of you ever had, put it this way, a difficulty with somebody, or something you need to work through, talk through, whether it be your spouse, your siblings, coworkers? Whether your difficulties, struggle, things went wrong, but you had to talk through something. Anybody ever have that? Yeah, everybody. But when you had to talk this thing through with, say, your spouse, your siblings, the conversation, was it probably 30 seconds, it's done, right? It's settled, right? Probably not. Sometimes, some things, some difficulties, it takes a while to talk things through. To hear each other out, to settle things, to come to resolve or to be at peace. And it's like that sometimes as well. You have things on your heart, things, misunderstandings, things you're struggling with, and the Lord says, come. Well, I read one verse, you know what it should be. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. Some things just take time. It's just the way it is. You have things in your heart, struggles. I've had the same thing too, and I've had to be there before the Lord for a while, and be told maybe my own things in my own heart that were wrong were settled, whatever it would be, and just commune with the Lord. Lord, what about this? I don't this or that. And the Lord ministers. Some things just take time. I've got another question for you. Anybody you ever receive, or somebody offered something for free to you and that you wanted it? Yeah, I've had that too. Let's say something, and even material things. Somebody offered something to you, it's free. Just come and get it. So you have to take the time, whatever, to get in your vehicle, whatever it would be. Go pick it up. Bring it home, do whatever you need to do, install it or whatever. Set it up. And it's like that too. The Lord offers to you something for free. Take the time and come and get it. Some things just take time. And you might say too, well, I don't have the time. I know I struggled with this once before as well. I was working the night shift, and I was still living at home, and so I really enjoyed spending time with the Lord. And so I worked the night shift, and I came home and late at night, and I was really tired, so I was asleep. And then when I got up, my dad read, okay, hey Aaron, can you help me with this and this and this, right? So I struggled with it because I was struggling with having time, and so I just cried out to the Lord, and the Lord made a way. If you don't have time, you cry out to the Lord, He'll make a way. But you know what? The word of God is true. And I'll read to you 2 things here in Mark chapter 4 about the seed. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 19, in the cares of this world, in the deceitfulness of riches, in the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And it's like that. It's a warning given for a real reason. You can be so taken up with what your own things, what you want to do, the cares of this life, getting money, whatever, and you bear no fruit, you got no time. Sometimes too, and it's like you might have to ask the Lord, and sometimes we have to change our lifestyle. And Matthew, a verse that to Matthew quoted here, and read to you too in Matthew chapter 11, a very familiar portion of all of us. We know it. Verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ever have a heavy burden on your heart and on your shoulders? I have many a times. Many a times. And I said this word, it's ministered to me so much over the years and even these last year or two. I've had to come many a times. Even I was praying to about the comfort, I've had need to get comfort many a times. But he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You have a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I've had that sometimes where I just come before the Lord. I don't even know what it was, a word or anything I spoke, but I was just there, and my burden was lifted. And I went away like, oh, what happened? What happened? It was gone. He says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy, and I will give you rest. I found that so many times. In John chapter 3, now it's Nicodemus here, and may even those who made someone desiring salvation. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And it's like this too, even with the serpent in the wilderness. Someone was bitten by a snake. All they had to do was come and look. And it's too, and he says it's too, but no, some people don't come to the light. Why don't they come to Christ? Because possibly their darkness is exposed. There's just things in their life they don't want to give up. But you come to the light and you receive healing, help, salvation. As I read in Romans 5, you have access into this grace that reigns and saves and keeps you. You have access. Come and get it. In John chapter 6 here, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. No one. John 7, verse 37, 38. The last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So come, you're thirsty, come and drink. You're hungry, come and eat. You're heavy burdened, come and receive rest. And I've had this too in say Philippians chapter 4 here, upon the truth of this. Be so true. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I've had the same thing too. You say you're full of care, struggling with things, and you come to the Lord in prayer, and somebody just ministers peace to your heart that passes all understanding, as it's written, and keeps your heart and your mind, your heart's at rest, and your mind's not racing back and forth. Oh, what about this? What about this? Oh, God, this doesn't make sense in all this. But you learn to come to him, and he just gives you peace, and it just settles things in your heart and your mind. And maybe I'll, one other thing that came to me as well when I was just waiting on the Lord too is coming for others. Martin, in his prayer, he mentioned this, a very familiar portion as well to us, at Luke chapter 11. All of us, we know the portion. And it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And one other thing as well here in a familiar portion in Isaiah chapter 58. Just read to you a few verses here, starting in verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of our fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fists of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as a morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Yeah, so coming for ourselves and coming for others. And I'm going to close with a few portions here in Psalms. Psalm 18, verse 1 to 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. And so you're lacking strength inwardly. Come and get it. Psalm 29. And verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And one last here in Psalm 144. A psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is the man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? And so that's... I got anything else that was on my heart? That's what was on my heart to share. That I believe the Lord has a lot for us. So we need to avail ourselves and come to Him. And He's made the way. He says, "It's free. You're thirsty. You're come."